Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Oregon State Representative Pam Marsh. She sponsored House Bill 3546, also known as the Protecting Oregonians with Energy Responsibility, or Power Bill. The Power Bill has been making its way through the state legislature and recently passed the Senate. Representative Marsh, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
So what's the current status of the Power Bill?
Well, the bill has passed the House, passed the Senate. It's coming back this morning, probably in about an hour and a half, for a little concurrence on the House floor to a Senate amendment that was made. And then it's off to the governor. So we are really pretty much through the legislative cycle with the bill.
Okay. Tell me what concurrence means.
Concurrence means an amendment was made on the Senate side, and the bill now comes back to the House, and the House members are asked if they agree with the changes that are made in the Senate. In these cases, they were very minor changes, so there won't be a problem.
Okay. So what's the problem that this bill is addressing?
It's an energy affordability issue. We have, all over the state, all over the country, we are seeing a huge influx of data centers into our communities. Now, data centers are really great from some points of view. As a consumer of data services, I'm glad to have those facilities here. But the challenge that we face on the energy affordability front is that data centers require an enormous amount of energy, and they can be constructed and on the ground very quickly. What that means, because of the way that we structure utility rates currently, is that the cost of providing energy to data centers spills over on other customers, on residential ratepayers, on small businesses, even on other industrial customers. So what we are, and this is happening at a time when our rates are already quite stretched due to other issues like wildfire mitigation and, frankly, just inflation. So what we're doing in this bill is to set up a special rate structure simply to make sure in summation that data centers pay for the cost of the own electricity that they consume. Pretty straightforward.
Okay, so I want to back up and focus a bit on this term data center.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're proliferating all over the country, and
yes.
People don't really understand what is a data center. And the way I picture it is we're all producing a lot of data, whether it be mm-hmm. pictures and videos and whatever we're doing online, we're producing that. The media are producing mm-hmm. it. And regardless of what industry you're in, you're producing data. And then, of course, you have AI that's exponentially expanding that data, and it has to live somewhere. So basically what we're talking about are storage warehouses mm-hmm. for data.
Yes. I visited an Amazon data center up in Umatilla County last summer, and it's an enormous facility outside of town. And it is largely just filled with big computers, just rooms, gargantuan rooms full of big computers. Data centers perform a really important function, but when they are up and going, they don't actually employ many bodies because it's really a warehouse for computers.
Okay, so that's instead of storing stuff on my phone, I can store it in the cloud, and that means I'm just paying someone else to put it into a data center that I can access when I want it. Okay. So OPB is reporting that this year, Pacific Power is going to increase its rates to residential customers by nearly 10%. Now, that means that they're experiencing a lot of energy demand as well. Can we anticipate these ongoing increases with the growing demand for energy with these data centers that need to be furnished?
Well, I think just to take a step back, that you've just framed the problem right there, is that our utilities, and we're really talking about the investor-owned utilities, not the consumer-owned utilities. The city of Ashland, for example, has its own electric system, but the city of Talent is served by Pacific Power, which is an investor-owned utility. There is tremendous pressure on the prices of energy right now, and that's due to a number of external factors. Those include the pressure to invest in wildfire mitigation to make sure that the infrastructure owned by utilities is safe as possible. There is certainly the pressure of inflation. And then there is this issue about the influx of big energy, I would say gobblers, the data centers that can be in the ground in no time and double the needed capacity of a community. So what we are, some of these elements we're going to be less able to control. Inflation is pretty much outside our state's ability to address. Wildfire mitigation, I would argue, is a very necessary investment of utilities to keep both the utilities infrastructure as safe as possible and our communities as safe as possible from fire. But the issue of data centers is one we can control. And that's why I think this legislation is particularly important, because what we can do through this is to set a rate structure that ensures that data centers pay their own way. We're not asking them to subsidize anybody else. We're welcoming them to our communities, but fair is fair.
My guest is Oregon State Representative Pam Marsh. We're talking about House Bill 3546, the new power bill that was recently passed by the state Senate. So, Representative Marsh, how will your bill, if it becomes law, and I'm guessing it's on its way to becoming law, how will it be enforced?
Well, it gives the Public Utility Commission, which is the regulating body for our investor-owned utilities, and the utilities themselves, the chance to require data centers to be in a rate structure of their own. So we will figure out how much it costs to serve them. It's all based on data and science, and then they will pay those ongoing costs. We'll also require them to sign 10-year contracts when they set up shop, to ensure that they'll be there and be paying for the infrastructure that they've required to be on the ground in order to have operations, so that they'll be paying it for at least a little bit of the life cycle of those investments. What we don't want is a data center to set up operations for a utility and thus the customer base to make investments to support the data center and then have them walk away in a couple of years, leaving essentially a stranded asset for everybody else to pay for. So with those two mechanisms, the regulated utilities do what the Public Utility Commission says, and the data centers, in order to be served, will have to abide by these new rules.
So what's the response by the power companies and those tech companies that are building data centers? What's their response to your bill?
Well, the utilities are, I think, very happy to have the bill. These are giving them powers that they simply don't have to negotiate with data centers. It's important to note that in consumer-owned territories, which is about 25% of the state, because those are unregulated utilities, there's already an ability to negotiate with data centers that want to come to town. So what we're doing with this bill is emulating practices that are already on the ground in consumer-owned areas and making sure that we have the ability to be as flexible in our negotiations and holding the data centers accountable in IOU territory. So the utilities are happy about it. I would say the data centers, the input that we have gotten consistently from data centers is that they are happy to pay their own costs. There's not a problem with that. They don't like being singled out in the bill. And the reason, frankly, we've singled them out is because they are the problem. The problem is not other big energy users like semiconductors, because their use is very predictable and grows at a measured pace. A data center that uses 30 megawatts of power can be on the ground in 18 months and would need power equivalent to all the power provided to the city of Ashland. So you can just see the impact on the system is unprecedented for data centers.
Okay, so that's enormous. Now, if you're saying that within 18 months they can build a data center anywhere where they're allowed to, and it draws so much demand from the energy grid, as much of as the city of Ashland.
Well, for an average size, and that's we're going to see data centers much bigger than 30 megawatts.
Okay, so not only is the demand for energy growing, but the data centers are growing as well. And then with AI, who knows how quickly the pace will accelerate. How is the grid going to be able to accommodate that?
That is a really good question. And to be clear, what we're doing in this legislation is addressing just the first step. What we're saying is data centers have to pay the cost of their own electricity. This bill does not address how we're going to generate that electricity and how we're going to build the transmission that's necessary. Now, the bill does provide options so that if the data center wants to be served by another provider other than the electric company, so they want to contract with an independent power producer, they want to build their own wind array or battery array, they can absolutely do that. We want them, in fact, that would be a good thing, is for data centers to be really identifying their own source of power and pulling them off the electric grid that has to serve everybody else. So the bill allows all of those pathways. But to the extent that the data centers continue to rely on the conventional electric grid, I think we haven't figured that out, frankly.
Well, I see another conundrum, and that is we're constantly pushing toward green energy. So it seems mm-hmm. like we're transferring a dependency on fossil fuels into a dependency on electricity. And the way we generate electricity, some of it, or maybe a lot of it, is using fossil fuels.
That is very true. We have in this state a 100% electricity goal, which is that we want our electricity to be 80% clean fuels by 2030 and 100% by 2040. Frankly, when we passed that legislation, that was my bill in 2021, we weren't calculating in the impact of data centers. So the data centers are posing a real conundrum as to whether the goals that we set out just 4 years ago can still be sustained.
So these energy hogs, these corporate energy hogs, are increasing the problem. But at the same time, we have an energy grid that is so outdated that we're actually having to buy energy from other states.
Well, I think what you can certainly say is that our transmission capacity is, as we look toward the need in the future, is not at a point where it will adequately serve us. There are ways that you, and we have some legislation that's passing in this session, that you can make the efficiency of existing lines work better. So you can get more bang out of your buck, essentially, as of the existing transmission system. And it is very true that we need to look at how we are going to grow the grid, how we are, I think bringing power in from other states is not necessarily a bad thing. One of the solutions to addressing some of these conundrums could well be looking at the supply of energy in a more regional pattern so that we can move energy around from where it's generated to where it needs to be used in a more efficient way. These are all the big questions that we are going to have to resolve in the next few years, at least try to resolve.
Do you anticipate at some point in the near future that the demand on the energy grid for these data centers and the residential usage will be such that the folks producing energy will have to make a decision during high peak times where they have to prioritize one over the other?
I think a lot of people are worried about that. It's not an unrealistic potential. One of the things about our data centers is that they are operating pretty much 24/7. So there's never a time when they're at a lower peak of use. And, these are the conundrums that are really facing the Public Utility Commission and our largest utilities as they try to plan for the future, because reliability is an expectation of our power system. We expect to be able to turn on the lights when we need to turn on the lights.
Right.
And nobody's going to be happy if the grid is stretched so much that we see unexpected outages.
Does the legislature have data on the average power outage in Oregon?
I'm sure the Public Utility Commission has that data.
Okay.
I know that they do track it in their regulation of the IOUs.
Okay. Well, we're looking forward to the signing of your bill. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have.
Thank you so much. so much, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. My guest was Oregon State Representative Pam Marsh.